Welcome back to this post-eclipse edition of the Gaming News Canada show. I'm your usually humble host, Steve McAllister. Almost 3 years ago to the day, I spoke for the first time with a guy I first saw on TSN's Off the Record show, probably 20, 25 years ago. Passionate sports person and a wise guy who had no problem being the bad guy on Michael Landsberg's panels on a frequent basis. When we spoke for an article, I was writing for the Toronto Star at that time on the opportunities that would come from the legalization of single events in Canada. Nick Sulzky was then the head honcho of fantasy business Monkey Knife Fight. We spoke again about 2 months later when PointsBet announced to hire Sulzky as the company's first employee for its soon-to-come Canadian business. As the chief commercial officer of PointsBet Canada, Sulzky has been front and center in PointsBet's partnership with Curling Canada. Three Canadian curling rinks skipped by Kerry Einarsson, Kevin and Brendan Botcher, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, the Ottawa Red Blacks, the NHL Alumni Association, more recently Club Link and others. Today on the program, we are Nick Sulzky and the Chief Executive Officer of PointsBet Canada, Scott Vanderwell, for an announcement of the rather significant which impacts both the regulated sports betting and iGaming landscape in Ontario and the world of curling. Hey, Scotty and Nick, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us, Stephen. And honestly, that intro, if I could frame like audio or maybe send it to my parents to justify my entire career that they have no idea still what I do, I would. Thank you for that. That was very kind.
You're welcome. I'm not going to lie, Nick. I probably spent 6 or 7 hours putting that intro together. So the invoice is in the mail. Hey, Nick, let's start the show. And obviously, we've had you on the show frequently over the years, going back to the days of Clubhouse, started Gaming News Canada in February 21. We don't get Scotty on quite so much, so this opportunity to talk to Scotty as well. So I'm excited about having you both on the podcast. But Nick, maybe get you first to share the news and the reason why we're together on this Monday after recording the podcast.
Yeah, not to, I guess, bury the lead, so you journos like to say, but the beginning of my transition out of PointsBet, I guess, officially starts today. And it starts because I've been given the opportunity to be a part of a team that is both acquiring and taking over the Grand Slam of curling, and we will be maintaining a long partnership in Canada with the great folks at Sportsnet. But I am now the CEO of a very cryptically named company called The Curling Group, and we are going to modernize and properly monetize the sport of curling around the world. So, as I'm sure, Steve, this is a complete and total shock to you, and especially to Scotty, that curling was the thing that lured me away from the incredible business and team that Scotty and I had the privilege of building at PointsBet in Canada.
Yeah, Nick, as Sportsnet will announce on Tuesday morning, they are giving ownership of the Grand Slam of Curling Series, which the network started back in 2012. Just a little bit more information on the Curling Group. Joining Nick on the leadership team is sports industry veteran Mike Cotton, with who I'm familiar from Mike's days at Ryerson University / Toronto Metropolitan University, former NFL defensive lineman Jared Allen, and two-time Olympic gold medalist John Morris. Nick, I think too, at if you didn't see the curling in the name of the company, you look at the people that you're surrounding yourselves with on the strategic advice, led by Jennifer Jones, another Olympic gold medalist, and this time Scotty's tournament's a hearts champion, who I guess not so coincidentally or ironically is ending her highly decorated career this week at the as a skip at the Grand Slam Series event in Toronto. But I know, Nick, when we spoke about this last week and kind of setting up your appearance podcast, that you're really excited about the people that you're going to be working with.
Well, I mean, I think it boils down to team and everything that I've done and I like to do, which is one of the, that's one of the biggest things that I've had to grapple with over the last little while is, leaving the incredible team that that's been built at PointsBet. You know, with that being said, you know, the sport of curling, you know, it's not just a sport. It's a community of incredible athletes and great fans. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a massive curler. I don't curl all that frequently. What I am is a big fan of the incredible athletes I've gotten to know and the experience and opportunity that growing and evolving the sport offers. And, you know, being able to surround myself with incredible curlers, both retired and active, is vital because I need to listen to the athletes. This is a sport that has to grow alongside the athletes with involvement and perspective, because I'm no near an expert in anything. What I can do though, is help them shepherd a new stage in what I believe is a sport that is prime for massive international growth, both here in North America and all over the world.
Hey, Nick, I want a bit more into the curls in a second, but I really want to get Scott Vandal in here. And Scott, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the same situation as a general manager coming in with the coach already in place. But when you joined Point, Nick was already on as the chief commercial officer. And I think I wrote in the Toronto Star when Nick was hired back in June 21, Johnny Aiken, the CEO of PointsBet USA back then, he was looking for someone who bleeds red and white. And if one ever watched Nick on you know, YouTube Off the Record sometime and see some of Nick's appearances on the show. But as we've often talked, Scotty, I think PointsBet Canada, you're kind of one of the poster people for the Ontario regulated sports betting and iGaming market into bringing job province. And I think you may have been the company to set up an office in downtown Toronto and really plant your stake around, and that includes the Curling Canada deal, which was done I think 6 months before the market opened in Ontario. But Scotty, maybe just a few comments about Nick Lee and what you and Nick and Chantal Ciprian Rivers and everybody else at PointsBet Canada has been able to accomplish in, you know, a little over 2 years here in Ontario.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I appreciate the question. And, you know, I certainly appreciate the inflection point that this represents for us as PointsBet, and for, quite frankly, the inflection point that it represents for us as an industry. Nick's been a selfless spokesperson for the industry, and I fully expect that, you know, his passion applied against curling is gonna do the same things in terms of elevating that industry that his presence and passion has done for the regulated and legal sports betting marketplace. I mean, I owe my position and my my role at PointsBet very much to my multi-decade friendship with Nick. It was Nick who was first exposed to PointsBet and the nature of the opportunity. And it was in the quiet council and the discussions that we had offline that he kind of helped me probably properly appreciate the nature of the opportunity that existed in this market and that existed in the role. And for the last 2 years, you know, Nick and I have very much been a yin and yang dynamic at PointsBet. I think there's been an incredibly complementary relationship between the inherent passion and creativity and spark that Nick brings to the table and the kind of discipline and professionalism that I certainly have a history of bringing. And so that relationship has been formative in all that PointsBet has been able to create. It's formed the basis of the team that we've built. It's formed the basis of the decisions we've made. And notably, one of the first decisions that we made and one of the first opportunities provided to us was what's become one of our flagship relationships in the relationship with curling and specifically with Curling Canada. And that's a relationship with PointsBet that we love and one that, curling, what we learned over the last number of years and what Nick will now step forward and play a role in a different way is that, you know, what we learned is just how beloved curling is by Canadians. but also what we learned is the amount of opportunity that that exists in a sport that has historically been somewhat traditional to innovate and become more more creative. And one of the boundaries inside of the relationship we had with Curling Canada, and much to the credit of Noah and the team there, was the creation of the Points Bet Invitational. And, you know, Nick's vision, if you want to kind of see the kind of creativity and approach that Nick can bring to this arena, you don't really have to look that much further than the creation of a March Madness style bracket against curling, single elimination, and really a very bespoke and unique event that now appears on the circuit. So look, it's I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk more about what this means for PointsBet. Nick leaves behind an incredible team with incredible talent. You know, we've got a lot of depth where PointsBet is almost 60 people deep now in the Canadian marketplace. We run a 24-hour sort of operational model with Australia. We've successfully separated ourselves from the U.S. business just last week. We're kind of growing from strength to strength as a business. We're still small and feisty, but that, quite honestly, Steve, that's kind of our advantage. We're sparky and willing to fight and to bring our kind of unique and local perspective to the industry. And I think we'll continue to do that in the months and years ahead.
Hey, Scotty, do you remember the moment, the conversation with Nick when Nick told you he was planning to do for the next chapter of his professional life?
Yeah, 100%. It was, I could tell you exactly what I was drinking. Nick and I have a local pub that we would, you know, roughly every 2 weeks we try to get together when it's a little quieter in the evening on a Wednesday, and we'll go and have a beer or two and just sort of talk about, you know, how the team's doing, what's going on in the industry, what do we need to be paying attention to, a whole bunch of different dynamics there. And so a couple months ago when we had one of these conversations, you know, Nick used that as an opportunity to kind of really float the idea of what he was thinking about at that time. I think it was, you know, somewhere between, you know, fully formed and partially formed, I think, in his mind. But it was an opportunity to, I think, you know, tell me about it, but also seek my perspective on it. And, you know, the reality is it's hard when you have the kind of relationship and the kind of working model that Nick and I have been able to have. That's a rare thing to find. So it's always a little bit hard to imagine, you know, what it looks like outside of that model. But the reality is, you know, myself and everybody at PointsBet, our number one view is that, you know, we need people to pursue the areas where their passion is most effectively delivered. And this is an area that it was clear from the very first conversation that Nick's passion was going to be put to good work. And so we started working at that point on what it meant for PointsBet, what it meant for the team. And I have the benefit. This is news to the industry. It was news to our employees last week. I've had the benefit of it being something that I've been thinking about and working with Nick on for the last couple of months. And I'm happy that for the next few months, we'll continue to work closely together, you know, officially. And then thereafter, I fully don't expect this to be a one-way door. You know, I think our relationship and Nick's commitment to the PointsBet team continues, and our commitment to Nick's success continues. So,
yeah, well, I do hear Sky that the Grand Slam is going to be looking for an official betting partner. So I don't know if that's something PointsBet interested in or not.
Yeah, well, we do have a great partner right now in curling, and so you know, for the foreseeable future, that's where our focus and investment is. But there's lots of ways to support curling in general, and the Grand Slam is an important part of the series, an important part of the same athletes competing across both circuits. As you mentioned earlier, Steve, we have two great teams that are have really done a great job for PointsBet, both across, you know, the Curling Canada events and the Grand Slam of Curling. So,
and Nick, I do want to get the backstory about the creation of the curling group. Before I do, I mean, obviously, you know, Scotty is one of the classiest guys that works in this industry, and I'm sure you feel the same way about him that he does about you.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and I think the first thing I'll say is I actually dispute something you just said. Scotty isn't one of the classiest and most distinguished people in the industry. He is the classiest and most distinguished person. And I mean, Scotty nailed it. You know, our yin yang relationship, or as I like to call it, the lethal weapon relationship, right? You can't have Riggs without Murtaugh, right? And that was quite literally the analogy that I used to help or to try and convince Scotty to join me on the amazing points bet ride. You know, it is very, very rare to find a leader that not only you respect and trust and like and want to follow, but also compliments you and is equally as respectful to you as you are to them. And I've never been a CEO before. And what gives me confidence that I'm going to be able to succeed is the fact that I've spent the last three-ish years being able to learn from Scotty. And I will also say to learn from Sam Swinell, who is our global CEO, but I don't work with Sam on a day-to-day basis. And what Scotty said, just because I'm technically going to be stepping aside from my role at PointsBet, it doesn't mean that my relationship with PointsBet and the incredible folks on our team that I've grown very close with will end, right? I will always be bugging them for advice. I'll always be inserting my opinion into things that they're doing. And I will say that not being an official operator under the incredible leadership of the AGCO and iGaming Ontario, my opinion around certain elements within the gaming industry might no longer come with the filter of actually being employed by one of the operators. So I'm excited to watch and cheer on the incredible team at PointsBet, the incredible brand that we've built together. And I'm excited to root for the evolution of the iGaming industry, not only in Ontario, but across this country, because I think what has happened here is incredible. I don't think no other jurisdiction on earth has launched with as many operators, with as much momentum as we've seen in Ontario. So I'm excited to be staying within the sports industry, and I'm excited to be able to now be a participant in the iGaming world, and I'm excited to play on PointsBet finally with some real money.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you in a few minutes, Nick, to remove that filter you just mentioned. But quickly, what's the story behind the create the curling group and today's announcement around the Grand Slam of Curling series?
Well, I mean, like Scotty alluded to, it's not something. I mean, the opportunity around the sport of curling has literally been something that's been percolating for years. Every step along the journey of first with Curling Canada and the PointsBet Invitational, and then getting to know a lot of the curlers, and then, you know, getting introduced to Jared Allen in the U.S., or obviously he's in the U.S., and then Jared's friend, who's now become one of my friends and an advisor of the curling group, Mark Bulger, who opened up T-Line, which is an incredible curling venue and facility in Nashville. My wife and I went down to visit him and his wife and see the venue last June as to have fun. But that opened my eyes to what a curling venue could be. And then starting to do research and just, you know, learning anecdotally that curling was starting to explode in Asia, and that women's curling has started to become bigger than men's curling. And we, you know, being a professional in the sports industry, it's impossible to not read stories around the private equity and venture capital that's being invested in some of these niche sports that have been created. And then sitting back and thinking about the Olympics and how massive curling gets outside of Canada every 4 years. And it was just kind of breadcrumbs, like all along the way. And, you know, and I use this analogy a lot, you know, or I've used this a lot over the last little while. Like, I've never personally encountered a business opportunity, let alone a sports property, where you can predict, where you know exactly when lightning is going to strike the clock tower, right? To use yet another movie analogy, some of my analogies don't involve movies, but you know, Steve, you know, every 4 years, curling explodes during the Olympics, so during the Winter Olympics. And so the opportunity, you know, after having a number of conversations with folks at Rogers, and you know, it's Rogers was not selling the grandson of curling. It was never for sale. It was just an opportunity that popped up after a number of conversations, similar to you putting Scotty on the spot. The great folks at Rogers have been asking me and PointsBet to be sponsors of the Grand Slam of Curling for a while, but it just wasn't in the cards. But after having a number of those conversations, it just started making sense. And then, you know, I candidly reached out to a number of folks like Mike Cotton, my new co-founder, just to pitch the idea, because I wanted to hear red flags. Like, I wanted to hear that I was missing something, that this didn't make sense, because my experience at PointsBet has been incredible. I have an incredible job. I've been working with incredible people. I love, this is an industry I've been working in for almost 15 years. And so I just kept looking for people to say you're crazy. And nobody said you're crazy. In fact, a lot of people said, that sounds like a good idea. I want to do it with you. And, you know, the dominoes just kept falling. And you know, I'm a builder, and I'm a glutton for punishment. And I'll say that the last T that had to get crossed was explaining to my lovely wife, who loves curling, but she loves security more than curling. So trying to, you know, explain to Lori that I was going to be walking away from an incredible job to try and build something new was easier than I thought it was going to be, because we've been married for over 20 years. Not only does she trust me, but she also sees the passion, not only that I have for the sport of curling, but she has gotten to know a lot of the other curlers as well. And, you know, she could see it also. So once I got her support, then I kind of had to bring this to Scotty to you know, gauge his temperature. And I got to say this, the amount of support that he gave me, that Sam gave me after, you know, this you know, became a reality, has been nothing but incredible. So, yeah, there's the breadcrumbs of how this story came to be.
Hey, Nick, last question, and then we'll maybe talk a little bit more about the gambling industry in Ontario and everything that's going on right now. And that's, you know, Steve, you were talking late last week about the sport, and I mentioned that, you know, from an outsider's point of view, the sport feels almost a little bit oversaturated right now, where it's hard to keep track of the different curling series that are out there. On the other hand, this has been an incredible winter for curling in this country, with Rachel Holman's just unbelievable season, that capped by winning the Women's World Championship a couple of weeks ago, and obviously Brad Gershew's run to the finals of the Men's World Curling Championship just finished on the weekend. And the Jennifer Jones, you know, her retirement announcement as a skip is a story in that curling community. And if you haven't had a chance to read it, Christina Rutherford of Sportsnet.ca had a wonderful piece on the website over the weekend on Jennifer's decision to retire. Again, I was fortunate enough to have Jennifer work for us at Yahoo Sports at the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. And every great thing said about her, I had a chance to see that up and close with someone who, instead of pouting about not qualifying for the Olympics in 2010, went there as a broadcaster and just worked her butt off for 2.5 weeks. So, like everybody in the curling community, a ton of time for Jennifer Jones. Just in terms of, again, I don't want you to give away any secrets, Nick, and I know that this is very, very early. It's not even early. It's early hours for you with this company. But What excites you most about the opportunity in curling right now?
Wow, that is a big question, man. And we've already been going for almost a half an hour. That's massive. No, I honestly, you mentioned all the incredible Canadian curlers. There's two things that really excite me the most. Well, actually, there's three things. I mean, I think the first thing is this opportunity. It's not about Canada. The thing I'm very excited about, the growth of the sport internationally. South Korean women just won the bronze medal, and the world championships are in South Korea next year. The Italian men's team has been ranked number one for the entire season. They just won the bronze in Switzerland, but the Olympics are in Italy in 2026. There are incredible, and not to mention, the legendary Nicky Dean winning the gold medal yesterday in Switzerland over equally legendary Brad Gushue. I mean, the sport has so many international elements, and that really excites me. I've never really been a part of something truly international, from a brand building and a rebranding opportunity. I personally think the sport of curling needs a bit of rebranding. Look what the Waste Management Open has done for golf, right? You go to a curling event, the way that it looks on television isn't necessarily the way that it feels after curling events, I'll tell you that much. So I think that there's a level of innovation and, revigoration that I'm excited to bring to the sport. There's very few operators that offer gambling on curling right now. And Steve, I'll give you your tangent. The reason why is there's no proper data feeds. Operators right now primarily have to manually trade curling, and the focus is only on core markets, and it's only pre-game fixed core markets. There is so much opportunity to integrate live gambling into curling, and we all know what that does to the engagement factor in a sport. So I'm really excited to help develop proper curling data and projections feeds so operators can properly offer markets to support the growth of this sport. So how's that tangent back into the next part of the conversation, Steve?
A word from our sponsor.
Hey there, sports fans. Are you looking for fresh and fun takes on the hottest topics in Canadian sports? Well, we've got just what you need. Introducing Homestand Sports Today, your go-to daily sports newsletter, bringing you the Canadian angle on the hottest NHL, NBA, footy stories, and more right to your inbox. But wait, there's more. Homestand Sports isn't just another text-heavy newsletter. Every story has its own video featuring our talented hosts like me, Albert Vartanian, giving you a newsletter experience like never before. And did I mention it's a free subscription? Subscribe now at homestand.ca.
Now back to the show.
Yeah, that's great. And that just gives me a follow-up question for Scotty. And Scotty, one thing we hear about the sports betting industry all the time, the next point, is looking for new products. And as Nick and I have talked about both in this forum, off camera many times, that the whole data issue, but also we're at a time where, we saw the just incredible momentum by Caitlin Clark in the NCAA women's basketball tournament. We have the new professional women's hockey league, which I think has taken off with a bigger bang than a lot of people expected. We have a women's soccer league coming to Canada in the next couple of years. And again, I think I couldn't agree more, Nick. I feel like from a betting perspective that we're just scratching the surface when it comes to curling right now. And for an operator points bet, that has to be exciting about the opportunities and the potential out there.
100%, Steve. Actually, our best market on Sunday was the finals, the women's NCAA finals. So, it's a real testament to just how far that's come and Caitlin's, draw and star power and all of those aspects of her as an individual, but you're right. Like this is a, you see this balance happening in the industry where there's a constant drive to find out what's next, what's innovative, what's going to be engaging, what's going to be differentiating. And then you see the kind of counter narrative to that, where you know, there's pressure being placed on the industry to say, you know, which markets are appropriate to stay up, which are safe, which ones don't, you know, put undue pressure on amateur athletes or otherwise. And so this sort of tug and, you know, pull or back and forth between how is it that you continue to innovate and expand and try new things, and also ensure that, well, you know, what you're offering is on balance, kind of producing a fair entertainment experience and not putting people into, you know, unduly compromised situations. And so, you know, I think since the very first moment that we started talking with Curling Canada, we've believed there's an opportunity in curling. There's absolutely no reason why that sport with proper data can't be, you know, can't be dynamically bet, why can't be bet in play. I mean, it's got a lot of the elements that you'd want to make it something that could be quite engaging and quite exciting. And, you know, as you said, Steve, the rise of female athletics professionally is also an area which I think over the next number of years will become, it'll be accompanied with better data. It'll be accompanied with, bigger stars and more brand power. And all of those things will lead to them becoming, appropriate complementary markets to what already exists. So, yeah, no, from my perspective, lots of upside in terms of how the industry continues to evolve in that regard.
Hey, I want to get your guys, and Scotty, we had a statement from you in the newsletter last week. We blew the cuffs off my keyboard and did a written edition of the newsletter on the two-year anniversary of the regulated market in Ontario. And I'd just like to maybe get you just a little bit about that, Scotty. And again, I'd love to get Nick's feedback, because you guys have been in the trenches of this regular marketplace since before day one. But Scotty, maybe I'll go first on that one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a milestone, Steve. And, you know, to your point, it feels like, Marshall and I were having a conversation at their celebration on April 4th. And we were reflecting on the fact that when we first met each other, we were both very much building the bike and riding the bike at the same time. We were heading towards an uncertain date as it related to the market opening, with uncertain regulations, with, you know, a whole bunch of complexities around basic things like the ability to get a bank account or the ability to get properly insured. So there were dynamics in those early days that, as a pioneer, were very difficult, because they required sort of industry or structural change to solve, versus, you know, if you come into the market a year later, many of those things are resolved. The banks are more comfortable, for example, dealing with this industry today than they were 2 years ago. So that pioneering spirit, being willing to be on the kind of the sharp tip of the spear, is something that's what's made this journey so exciting from a points perspective, right? When the market opened 52 seconds after it opened, we took our first bet, and that, you know, makes us in and about one of the first people to do so in Ontario. And we've been kind of doing it ever since, right? And we've been moving our way through the ups and downs of the market, working with the regulator as they learn, you know, what the guidelines are going to be for operators in the market. And that whole pathway over the last 2 years has been really a remarkable journey. Now we're lapping the track a couple times, Steve. So a lot more of it is, you know, how do you get 5% better every day, or how do you continue to improve your, you know, level of automation, take away any sources of risk or human error or whatever. You kind of do that on a kind of a repeating basis. But in those early days, there were questions to which there just weren't answers. And it really did feel like everybody who had sort of put their hat in the ring were all trying to solve it together. That's a very rare thing to be able to launch a new business, like a new company, at the time when a new industry is launching at the same time. Like, it's that's a very special opportunity. And to some extent, you know, Nick's new situation is not exactly the same, but there's elements of that, right? There's a his passion sort of speaks towards a bit of a rebirth on many dimensions of what international curling can be and what it'll mean, you know, once his fingerprints are placed on that sport as well. So, yeah, I mean, we're extremely excited at PointsBet. It's been a good couple of years. We're excited about the kind of Commonwealth connection that we have with Australia. We think that the PointsBet in this iteration is strong and able to kind of make the kind of investments that we need to make to be able to kind of continue to grow in this marketplace. And we're looking forward to doing that for a long time.
And Nick, anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, honestly, I kind of forget what the question was, to be honest. And then nothing but transparent, Steve. No, I mean, I think that to Scotty's point, being a challenger, not only from a brand perspective, but I feel like, especially in the early days, the industry launching was all, there were so many challenges that we were facing altogether. So, you know, and I think those challenges aren't stopping, you know, I remember the public fervor last NHL playoff season around advertising that resulted in new changes, right? Like every step along the way, there's been challenges and there will be more, right? There's going to be, knock on wood, another province opening in the not too distant future. How will the industry unify and work together to make sure that happens? So I think that I'll miss a ton of things about about PointsBet, about this industry. The first 2 years, 3 years really, of thinking about this has been, yeah, it's been incredible.
I want to get, we don't have too much time, but I do want to get both of you guys. I mean, it's, again, it's, industry feels like a tale of two cities right now. I mean, there should be, Scotty, we talked about March Madness and Caitlin Clark. There should be so much excitement from the industry right now with what's going on in the sporting world. We've got the Masters coming up this week, and we've got a Euro Soccer this summer. We have a Summer Olympics in Paris and in Austin. You know, there's a lot of excitement at your place, the hiring of Brooke Hilton as your head of casino back late in 2023, and the partnership you have with Strive Game, how that's helped boosted your online casino business. And yet, when we look at the industry right now, you know, taking a lot of flack, and sports betting advertising continues to be a hot button topic, as Nick mentioned. There's a lot of skepticism around how sincere the industry is dealing with some problem gambling, and we're seeing regulators in certain states in the U.S. got the banning of U.S. college props bets. You as a leader and an operator, do you find yourself right now, you on one hand you should be celebrating what's happening, but maybe it's just the reality that there's still a lot of work to do, that unregulated gambling is still a very, very young industry.
Yeah, Steve. So maybe I'll go first, and then Nick, if you want to come over the top. Look, I think it's absolutely the case that this is a young industry. It's young in Ontario, let's say, as a regulated industry. But you know, gambling as an industry, of course, it goes back to the beginning of time. Really, it's probably one of the oldest pastimes that exists, right? So. What I always, elevate to Steve is the macro objective, right? So if I stand all the way back and just look at what's been accomplished, and then I look at what has yet to be accomplished, I am unequivocal in my belief that Canada and Canadians will be better off if 100% of gambling that takes place in this country is under a regulatory watch. Full stop. So the fact that well over 50% of the gambling that takes place in this marketplace is not under regulatory watch, because it's happening, in gray operations or with offshore books or whatever the case may be, is a gap for the industry. And so, of course, there's going to be natural tension and natural friction because something that was in the shadows or was in the dark has now become part of the light. But it doesn't mean that the fact that it's you've turned on the lights on an industry, that that activity didn't exist previously. And the risk is that because we can see the industry, that rather than sort of celebrating the success of that and building it in the way in which we think we want the industry to look, and making sure that the kind of, you know, responsible gaming activities and protocols or the types of regulatory constructs that we want around the industry are in place, what we run the risk of is that we start to overreact, but that's in quotes, right? But we start to have a counter reaction because we can see it. And in doing so, you know, we do things to the part of the industry that we can see, which serves only to move people back towards the part of the industry that we can't see. So, you know, if I use prop bets as an example, you can make an argument, and I think there's lots of documentation, you know, Jeff's article and otherwise, around the potential risk that exists, or the kind of exposure to young athletes around prop bets, or the degree to which they expose, the industry to, tampering and stuff like that. But, you know, if you take away prop bets as an example from the regulated industry, people who want to place prop bets are just going to go find the offshore book on which to place prop bets. And all that you will have done is you'll have just taken something that you used to be able to see and used to be able to monitor and used to be able to kind of identify where issues are happening, because the data is reported, it's publicly visible, there's, you know, professional managers with good controls, and you've put it into a part of the where you can't see it. And my belief is you want to see it. And the more that you can see it, the more that you can, you know, shape it in a way that you think is strikes the right balance. If you move it the other way, it just happens out of sight and behind the scenes. And, you know, the things that have come to light recently, maybe they don't ever come to light. And the behavior kind of happens in the shadows. So my view is this is a legitimate industry. It's an industry that the regulation will continue to evolve into a way where it strikes the right balance, and that the Canadians are comfortable with the balance that gets struck. And that in doing so, and if we do that across every province of this country, and if we have as, you know, common a standard as possible across this country, that we'll end up in a spot where, like so many other parts of so many other industries, you know, we'll get it right and be able to move forward kind of productively.
Yeah, and Steve, if you don't mind, the one thing that I'll add to that, because Scotty's bang on, the number one goal of any market should be regulation, iGaming regulation, period. Bring it into the white. But I think what's really important to understand is that, especially living in North America, a lot of our media also involves our partners from the South. And Canadian gaming is extraordinarily different than the American gaming landscape, because we have a gray market here. In the US, if you want to gamble online, you can't. Period. You can't. In Canada, you can. And it's to a point where in Canada, on our television stations, you're still seeing ads that are promoting black market offshore operators. That's bullshit, right? So the reality is, see, there you go, Scotty.
That's the unfiltered version of 100%.
So the reality is, if, especially in Canada, there was a move to prohibit prop betting, all you are doing is pushing people into the gray market. The more regulations are important, but the more strict the regulations are, the harder it is for a consumer to get what they want, when they want it, and how they like it. All you're going to do is move those people back into the gray or into the black market, and that does a disservice for what we are all building together, because gambling has been around for centuries and it's not going anywhere. And when you're working in a regulated sports industry, when it comes to prop betting and the integrity of the sports, we all, operators and leagues and media companies, work with groups like US Integrity, whose jobs, whose technology platforms are built to protect the athletes and the users from nefarious activities like match fixing. Without the regulated framework, without companies like US Integrity and Sport Radar and such, that's when the problems occur. So, yeah, I think that we need to be very aware, especially in Canada, that the more stuff you put in the way, the more likely people are going offshore.
Honestly, Steve, the success, yeah. And I have to go back to the two-year story again, but a big part of the success of Ontario and the reason that the Ontario regulated market has been held up as probably the model in the world in terms of the right balance of regulation is that it has done just that. It has put in place from the very beginning some of the strictest advertising standards in the world, and basically asked brands like PointsBet and otherwise to compete on the basis of brand, not to compete on the basis of splashing around, incentives and sales promotions and stuff like that. It's required all operators to get their RG check accreditation and to demonstrate day in and day out that they're living the values that are committed to in that accreditation. It's conducted and managed by IGO. And so in a very real way, every operator operating in Ontario is a subsidiary of that government entity with the oversight that comes along with it. We have some of the strictest AML standards in the world that we have to comply to. So when you look at all of that, the industry has put in place the guardrails, but it's also provided flexibility where flexibility is helpful for operators to be able to compete. So, we have the ability, as long as we demonstrate good judgment, to make decisions on our own about what type of advertising to put into the marketplace. If we get it wrong, we get told that we got it wrong, but we learn and we get it right in the fullness of time. And those types of, conditions of flexibility, that kind of risk profile that the government has stood up, is the reason why there's 70 plus brands and 46 operators that are in Ontario. Why not just the sports side, but the iGaming side of this market is as robust as it is. From my perspective, I think there's a real opportunity for people who are criticizing the Ontario regime, to the extent that group takes a look around the world at what's been created in Ontario versus some of the other markets in which gambling has flourished. And you could be quite proud of the work that's happened here.
Hey guys, just quickly as we wrap up here, and I'll start, Nick, with you. What makes you most excited about year three of regulated gambling in the province? And maybe it's the fact that Alberta, there does seem to be a bit of momentum right there right now. And what's the opportunity do you see?
I think you nailed it. I mean, I think it's another province, hopefully Alberta. And I think from a PointsBet perspective, as we've talked about, through the great partnership with Strive, we've launched a brand new casino product. So I'm very excited from a PointsBet perspective to see what a, top tier casino platform can mean to our iGaming users. But from a market perspective, Steve, it's got to be Alberta, I think.
Scotty?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, Nick's got it bang on. I mean, I think from the PointsBet side, the opportunity that exists in front of us on casino, I think, is very exciting, as well as the opportunity to, that we're maybe this is a unique kind of PointsBet situation, but the wiring and the relationship between Canada and Australia is also very exciting. The way we're setting up our operations for efficiency globally is, we've had an opportunity through this last year to be very thoughtful about how we are doing that and make sure that we're automating more and more of our processes and stuff like that. So, I'm pretty excited about that side, but commercially, you know, PointsBet will continue to be, you know, a sports-led brand. That's our DNA. That's our right to win. And we have, you know, probably one of the best products in the marketplace as it relates to the sports side. But we've always historically kind of underperformed on the casino side relative to our customers' expectations. And, you know, it's just a function of where our investment dollars had gone historically. But the, you know, the investment that we've made, the partnership with Strive, leveraging their platform, and as that, you know, as new capabilities roll out over the coming quarters, that's an area where I see us competing with the best in the market.
Scott Vanderwell is the Chief Executive Officer of PointsBet Canada. Nick Salsky is the new CEO. And
yep.
one of the owners of the Curling Group, Nick, yeah, guys, listen, thanks so much for doing this, Nick. I'm thrilled for you. And again, as I mentioned last week, grateful to you for the support and your willingness to talk to me over the 3+ years we've been doing Gaming News Canada. You've been a great source. Love the fact that you're never afraid to share an opinion. And I know this isn't the last time that we're going to have you on the podcast.
Well, dude, thank you for everything you've done for me, for PointsBet. And I would be honored to join anytime you ask, as per normal, Mr. McAllister.
And yeah, Scotty, thank you as always. And look forward to catching up in person at the Canadian Gaming Summit in June.
Absolutely, Steve. And look forward to continuing to support the great work that you and the team are doing here. So
great. Thanks, both. That's it for this episode of the Gaming News Canada Show. You can find us at gamingnewscanada.ca and on the various podcast platforms. Thanks again to our special guests, Nick Salsky and Scotty Vanderwell. And we will see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Gaming News Canada Show. Sign up for our newsletter at gamingnewscanada.ca. Follow Steve McAllister on LinkedIn. Message Steve if you're interested in being a sponsor or featured guest.